Guys,
yes.
What is the best way to prepare a potato?
Have we not done that one?
Have we?
I don't know.
I know we've talked breakfast foods.
We've done eggs before. Maybe not potato.
Do you want hash browns? Do you want French fries? Do you want mashed potato? Yams?
It's mashed potato.
With gravy?
Mashed potatoes are pretty good, but I think you could do better.
I think mashed potato is it. That's the jam.
Curly fry.
Okay. Seasoned curly fry? Are curly fries always seasoned?
I mean, they better be.
If you're not seasoning your curls, don't fucking talk to me.
The curly fries remind me of a pig's tail, so I'm a little sensitive to that.
Because you have a pig's tail?
Yeah.
You're a pig?
Well, because he always calls me a pig.
Because you are a pig.
I think Hungover Johnny really loved the hash browns all the way at Waffle House.
Sure.
Yeah.
With just everything piled on top, it's just a cure-all, really, for a night of drinking.
Oh, you know, it's been forever, but a shoestring potato.
It's really
I
good.
Like those. I need to get a can of those again.
We had leftover tater tots this past weekend, so I heated those fuckers up, and I
air fryer.
No, I put them in the oven and then pulled them out and put them on to this breakfast burrito I made. So I had like bacon, eggs, cheese on top of that. Those tater tots. That was a really good breakfast burrito.
I bet so. I had a breakfast burrito today for lunch.
Hell yeah. Johnny, thank you for giving me a hankering for potatoes. I love a good tater and would like to have one right now.
It is a staple in the Emsich house.
Fair.
I'll tell you that much.
What do they call them? A jack potato over in the UK where like that's like a pretty common street food where it's like beans on and cheese on potato.
Oh, beans, you don't say in English food?
Well, at least they don't get stabbed in mathematics. So we've got a hell of a show for you. It's March 6th. This is episode 365. We're going to be talking exclusively.
You could listen to one episode of The Casual Hour every single day for a year. Congratulations, guys. We did it.
We did it. We're a one-year-old.
You shouldn't do that. That would be the worst way.
It's a bad day.
No.
Worst possible thing you've ever done.
Well, also, there aren't 365 episodes available to download because, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we have.
There's some lost, quote unquote, the lost episodes.
Also, this year's a leap year, so, you know, it's
true.
Math. So next week, I guess.
Damn the man. We're going to be talking at length. Well, not really at length. We're going to be talking up into the first boss encounter of Chapter 2, I guess, of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah, I guess that's Chapter 2.
Yeah, so we're gonna get into that tonight. We got some stuff in the news, but I'll say it now and I'll say it again when we get right to it. There is going to be spoilers tonight on some of the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth stuff. We'll get into
early spoilers,
though. Yeah, for sure.
Chapter 2, which takes you maybe a few hours.
Yeah.
Depending on how long you stay in that Grasslands area.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into that stuff, give some impressions and hot takes on it. So I guess at this point, like, do we just want to hop into that? Any other things we need to get into, like, game wise before we put off talking about the demo? I kind of feel like we're here to fucking talk about Final Fantasy VII.
I've got some other stuff I've been playing, but it's mainly been Final Fantasy. So I will save that for next week.
Okay.
Let's just talk about Final Fantasy.
So really quick, why don't we each call out where we're at?
Yeah.
So we kind of know for each other. Chase, I think you've played the most. Do you know where you sit
Chase
right now?
Chase is the furthest, sounds
yes,
like.
Yes, I am into Chapter 6 now. A decent ways into Chapter 6.
Hour count-ish?
I couldn't tell you. It's probably in like the 10, 15 hour range, I would think.
Okay.
Cool. Decent amount.
I'm wrapping up Chapter 4. I'm at the point where I can move forward from there.
And that's sounds in good. Junon.
I don't know how many hours I have. Quite a bit. I'll talk about it, but I've been putting a lot of time into non-story stuff.
It says mine is at 6 hours, but I also left the game open for a while and wasn't playing it, so I can't say how accurate that is. It's probably closer to like 4.
Okay.
4 or 5. And I can go to the boss fight that will lead to Junon is the next thing I can do. But I'm still just I'm just having a really good time running around on my chocobo. And I tell you what, I must not have been paying super close attention whenever Chocobo Billy was explaining how to control the chocobos, because it took me, 30 minutes before I realized if I double press R2,
mm-hmm.
it's like 200cc mode in Mario mm-hmm. Kart. It's 200cc chocobo.
I still don't think they feel very good. Like, it's they're certainly faster than walking, but it's kind of a pain in the ass.
That's why I said that, because 200cc in Mario Kart feels unnatural.
Yeah.
And it's hard to navigate. So I end up, like, if I'm on a straightaway, I'll stay in fast mode, and then I'll bring it back when I need to take a sharp corner or something. Also, you pass up the resources and stuff, which, can I just say,
you just got to mash that button faster, buddy.
I know. The fact that there's no animation, and when you're on the chocobo, it just gathers everything that is in the area around the materials that you're walking
just
over.
Like Horizon does.
You're right, but also there is an animation to call your chocobo and to get on your chocobo, and I'm like, dude, can I just hit the button and be on it? Because I've got to call it, and then I've got to spin the camera around twice, because where the fuck is this thing coming from? Because it has to come the opposite from where your camera is. Which, again, these are like really small gripes, but you get on your chocobo a fucking lot. and every time I'm like, dude, just sit there. And I'll get on you, and it's fine. And most of the time, it's like, okay, I've got to call it. And then where'd you go?
I spent a good amount of time last night trying to line up my whole party while they were on their chocobos, so I could take a photo of all of them together. Because that's like if I could just run around the forest park on three chocobos with you boys, I think that would be a great time.
Yeah, let's just do a quick squad goals. Very brief, yes or no, are you enjoying Final Fantasy VII Rebirth?
Yes.
Yeah, more than I expected to after playing the demo. I do want to clarify a quick thing, because I mentioned it last week, where one of the things I was having an issue with on the demo is that I said it might even be glitched, that I wasn't getting voice acting from Mai and Chadley when I was out in the field. Bobby actually diagnosed that. It's that I had my controller volume all the way down, probably from a previous game where people were barking at me too much, and I said, fuck that. So I switched it to just have those conversations be on the TV, and hey, I can hear Mai now. I think her voice actor's fine. Yeah. So thank you, Bobby, on that.
Yeah,
I am having a pretty good time with it, though.
Good. I am having a good time as well. There's some things that I find a little surprising about it, and I also am surprised by how I'm approaching playing this one, but I have largely nothing but glowing praise to give it. There's a few things that, as somebody coming to Final Fantasy VII for the first time via Remake and Rebirth, I have a lot of questions still right now, actually more than I thought I would at this point in the game.
I bet you do.
Also, as somebody who has played Final Fantasy VII and knows stuff about Final Fantasy VII, I have some questions as well.
Yeah, so I think for me, I feel at this point in the game, I was way more invested in what the perpetual motion of that game of Remake was. I feel very kind of like, okay, hey, I had this big thing with the character named Zack that I don't know anything about. I had all this shit happen with Sephiroth that was like really just chapter one. And basically from that point on, which is the absolute line, sure, I'm talking like maybe an hour-ish of time in that first portion, comparatively to what I'm doing right now, it feels like there's no urgency on the Sephiroth or the mission at hand. It's just like, yeah, you're just like on an adventure. Like, this is the fantasy part of Final Fantasy for me. And I felt like Remake, at this point, I was way more invested in Jesse and Wedge and all those like Avalanche folks and what the fuck was going on, and just the oppressive nature of seeing everything above the city of Midgar and knowing that there was like a yearning to get out. And now I feel, well, what the fuck is the risk right now? Like, we're picking up flowers and crafting things, and it's like all really awesome. Like, it's just a little strange to me to not really know where this thing's going.
I mean, this could change as you play, but this game has not been the dark middle chapter of the trilogy for sure. No, it hasn't. Like, everything is bright and chill and fun outside of like that initial thing with Sephiroth. I mean, I'll tell you, even where I am, things are still very light. I just got to the beach area.
Oh boy.
And now it's all about beach mini games. and I'm like, okay, I thought we were doing a thing. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that game, like this game so far has been a lot of big wide open spaces, relax, vibe out with your friends, go do all these little mini games and all these little tasks and challenges. And the story, we'll get to the story.
It's much weirder also than Remake.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I definitely prefer Remake at this point. I think Remake had a more focused intent to it that I really appreciated. And I did like everything's happening in Midgar. You're kind of in one place and you're doing a lot of stuff in this one place. And this one definitely feels like, hey, there's a big open space and there is stuff to do. But we are kind of, there's a story thing and then there's a big open space where nothing really matters and you can just kind of do whatever you want. And then you can close back down to a story thing and then you can go to another big open space where nothing really matters. And that's fine, but it is tonal whiplash sometimes to go from, oh, here's like this.
This is so urgent. We need to. Yeah.
Totally. Do you, and then like, maybe I'll just fight some more stuff on Chocobo again.
So my time playing the original game, like I'm looking at how long to beat right now, because I just wanted to make sure it wasn't just the rose tinted glasses.
When you say original game, do you mean seven or remake?
Seven, the 1997 PlayStation 1 game. And main story, 36 and a half, main plus sides, 49 and a half, completionist, 81. And I was definitely, every time I would play that game, was going more the completionist route, because I remembered so much time running around the map, finding secret stuff.
Yeah, you need to get Knights of the Round. You need to get
Exactly. Yes. Doing the chocobo breeding. And once you get the high wind, flying around, going to places you couldn't go before, like there was side stuff going on in that game that you could or could not interact with and still complete the story. It's just there's more of it in this one.
I think, and also it feels dated in that sense.
Yeah. I mean, they're writing a fine line, right? Like they want something that feels true to the original game and what it did, but also they want to make it modern. And as you pointed out, like the open worldness, like activating the towers and doing all this stuff. I think if I was playing any other game except Final Fantasy VII, I'd probably be more annoyed about that stuff. But because I just love being in this world so much, I'm willing to.
Yeah.
And for me, it's more like being with these characters. It's less that I want to go do this mini game, and it's, oh, I want to hear what Tifa has to say.
About exactly. Thing. The characters are so well realized, and the idle chit chat between them. And I love the fact that regardless of who you have in your fighting party, your whole party is there with you. And there'll be side conversations that take place, even if you don't have Barret in your fighting party with you. Like they'll
How have you guys found that? Because in Remake, they contrived many different reasons why you would only have three people in your party at one time, or sometimes even two or just one. And this game finally does allow you, oh, you've got access to these five guys. Which of the five do you want in there? Cloud has to be one of them. I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah, that's
right,
fine.
Yeah.
I mean,
Have you been using everybody, or are you just kind of using specific characters when you want to?
It wasn't until last night that I finally started toying around with, because you can hot swap between all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can make specific party organization. Like, is it, do you get more than three?
You have three.
You just like get three
loadouts, basically.
Okay. All right. But still, like you can mix it up quite a bit. And I think depending on the combat scenario, it might make sense to, well, this Barret would make more sense to have in this fight because it's a flying monster or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's kind of, it's more of a pragmatic approach for me versus a, like, as much as I would like to say, I always want to hear what Tifa has to say, or at this point, I'm really invested in Red. I think Red's a cool character. Like, I'd like to hear that, or just kind of see them with me doing adventure.
Dude, it's just looking ahead at all the stuff I know that you're going to get to experience, specifically with Red 13 when you go to his home. That's one of my very favorite parts of the game. So
I can't wait. Like, and I think the characters are propelling me. I can't remember if that was you or Chase that made that comment, but
I think we both kind of said that, right?
Yeah. Like it's
these characters. I'm willing to put the time in to this side stuff. Sure. That maybe I would otherwise not pay attention to.
I can't get over just how old school this is. A map game. It's a big fucking map game that I do think you have to engage with a bit of that for sure. I don't think you can completely avoid it, unfortunately, for some folks, but it is so formulaic.
I think you could, but it's very, it's all right there. I've definitely found myself going, I guess I'm close enough to that combat encounter, I'll just do it. Or I guess I'm close enough to that tower, it's going to give me something. Or, oh, Chadley does have so you get materia, or you get points that you can turn into Chadley for materia for different places. And it's like a different currency for each place, even though it's the same kind of currency. So sometimes he has really good materia. He's got one that's fire and ice.
Yeah, materia. I just got that last night.
And I was like, cool, I've got a fire materia and I've got an ice materia, but you're saying I can just have this one that does both? Sweet, absolutely.
Well, then you get to a point where you don't really need either one, which is great.
Well, totally. But it does get you to a point of I guess I need to engage with more of the open world shit so I can get that materia or get these extra little goodies over here and over there. So I have actually ended up playing a lot more of the open world stuff than I meant to.
Yeah, as I was saying, I've gotten the whole area done, and I think it's more I can't let myself not beat those things.
It's like sick, twisted man.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I'll admit I chastised you for doing the whole grasslands, but I ended up doing all of Junon. So and it was mostly just I guess it's fucking here. I guess I got it.
I'm here. I might as well.
Yeah. So I'm working on it that way, and that's why I haven't moved it forward. But I also feel like the thing that's really tripping me up on this is how different these people feel to me this time around. And
you mean as characters?
Yeah. I can't quite figure out, something is very off in the vibes of these people right now, particularly one person. And I'm I can't feel it's authentic. There's a part of me that thinks this is all fucking fake. There's a part of me that thinks none of this is really fucking real.
It could be. At the end of the first game, we're kind of told this is a whole new world you're in.
Right.
And even though these characters that we are embodying are the same, because they're the ones who walk through the portal or whatever. It does feel like there's some differences.
And so for me, it's also I'm having a hard time kind of picking up this isn't all, I know that is, but it kind of doesn't feel like the same people I was really fond of from playing Remake. And even the dynamic between some of them is what the fuck is happening? What happened? I played Intrigate. I did the shit between these, nothing that I'm aware of really went down. What the fuck happened here? So I don't know if that's just an effort to kind of match the tone of what's going on, or if this is just weird shit that they're spinning up, but it feels I feel foreign to some of the shit that's going on.
It could be a combination of a lot of things. And there's also, there was a big gap between these two games. And when you try to build a whole new thing and then connect it to a previous thing, sometimes those don't always line up. I know you see a little bit of Zach in the early game of this.
What the fuck?
And I don't know if I missed something between the games or what, but I'm like, well, wait, when did that happen? And why is nobody talking about that? And why haven't I seen Zach again? Isn't he around? If he was with Aerith at that moment, why am I with Aerith now? And why has nobody mentioned, when did this interaction happen if I've always been with Aerith this entire time?
Exactly. What's going on?
Yeah,
some high strangeness is afoot.
I think,
and some of that is different. I mean, that is different from original Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
but I also have this feeling that the whole point of the first game is that we broke free from the constraints of fate, of like the whispers and all the stuff that was flying around. But I also don't feel, even though you've talked about some of this stuff feels foreign, I feel like it's not foreign enough, where we are still kind of just telling the story of Final Fantasy VII again. And there are little differences here or there. But if we broke free of fate, I feel like things should be way different. And they don't feel way different to me.
Do either one of you who've played the original, because like they've said at least that there's going to be one more in this trilogy.
Yeah.
So do you have like, I knew that they said that this was the first one was going to be like the time in Midgar. We kind of knew that going into it. I don't know anywhere where this is supposed to end or how they're going to end this one. I know that's kind of it could be anything.
I have a couple of ideas.
Yeah. Chase, do you?
It might end.
I'll tell you, the back half of Final Fantasy VII is not the stuff I remember the best.
Okay.
So I don't know if I could give you a timing of like, oh yeah, I think they'll end this game at this place, and then I think the next game will go from this to this. I've got ideas, but they're more like vague things than having like, because the first game, like you said, the Midgar part, and even though that was. They definitely stretched out the Midgar section for Rebirth more, like way over proportionately from where Midgar is.
Because it's not very big in the original game, right?
No, like, no, it's something you do for a few hours and then you're
out of Midgar. Yeah, it's the first couple hours of the game and then you're gone.
Okay.
Yeah, in the world. So they stretched that into a full game, which I think scared a lot of people. And I think this game is definitely let's speed through some of these cities and get you like, let's hit the big moments of some of these things. But also it's much more of a road trippy thing of here are all these big spaces to explore and you're kind of doing these. And again, they don't matter as much, but we're hitting you place to place to place to place. And I think they're setting you up for a third game that can kind of wrap things back around and get to be story heavy again. We'll see.
Chase, you had asked me, well, you told me that you think you maybe found like one of the potential moments of the year, and you asked me if I did something yet. I did that thing, and that was very cool.
Let me check my notes, because I had a different story of the year thing that just happened to me that you definitely haven't gotten to yet. So I need to remember the moment of the year that I was mentioning to you.
I'm missing a message.
Yes. I know what it is now.
Yeah, Johnny has. We're trying to protect Johnny and some of the other folks here with it. But ultimately, I'm having a really great time with it. I don't mind it being old school. There's something a little nostalgia. The open world mechanics is like 360 era B game to me. Like that's kind of how it feels. Like it doesn't feel mechanically wonderful. In outside of combat, in my opinion, I think that
I mean they're fine, but it's just following, especially the tower stuff. Like you find a tower and you climb up the blue the blue arrow that goes to the ladder, and you climb up that, and it takes a little while, and then you slash a couple boxes when you go up there, but then you put your machine in
It
does the thing, and then you slide back down a rail, and then it's like okay. It feels like a lot of busy work in a lot of those instances.
Agreed.
But when you do get to cities and you start getting to the story stuff and talking to more people there, those have been really good. And honestly, I still enjoy the open world areas enough where I'm still doing some of these things. I'm going to find the Mog. The Mog house. I'm gonna go and
people are upset about that.
Oh, those Moogles look fucking terrible.
Yeah, that's the thing that people are saying, those are not what Moogles are. I think somebody called them Miguels. I don't know why,
makes me unhappy, Koopo.
They look more like anthropomorphic teddy bears than what they did before.
You know what though? I don't fucking know what the other thing looks like, so I'm fine.
Really? I mean, you have to because Moogles are in every Final Fantasy game. So you've seen a Moogle somewhere.
There one in the last one?
I mean,
I didn't play enough of 15.
Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, which you're playing right now.
Yeah, but that's like pixel art shit.
I guess, but they're still Moogles.
I mean, Moogles, I understand they're like hamster bear type looking things with wings, right?
They got little bat wings. They've got like a big
little
red. They're like a bear chair.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's mostly the eyes.
If you will. It's mostly the eyes that people have a problem with.
Oh, it's like the original classic Sonic design for the movie.
Kinda, yeah.
Okay.
The classic Moogle has kind of like these more like slit eyes, like it always looks like it's sleeping.
Okay.
And these have like big round button eyes, and you're like,
oh yeah,
that's weird. I don't like that.
Can I ask a question on combat for you two?
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just throw it out there. I'm enjoying the combat more in Rebirth than I did in Remake.
It took me a while to get used to it again because.
Oh, agreed. Agreed.
I still feel like I'm getting my sea legs.
With some of it. I started with the classic combat where it kind of does normal attacks for you. And I can't remember if I did that in Remake. Or if I tried that in Remake. I know I went to active eventually, but then I get Johnny's busy, I guess.
Can I ask you specifically a question on that?
Yeah, hit me.
I don't think that you're like a real big action third person combat
it's
person.
It's not my preferred genre, but I've certainly played many games.
Absolutely. You've played them. Would you prefer this if it was turn-based more than what it is currently?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, the problem is original Final Fantasy VII is very turn based, but it's right. The active turn battle stuff that I hate.
Yeah.
I hate ATB.
Johnny, same question
I'm
for
in
you.
The minority on that, but
no, I really love the new way that they handle combat. I still like turn based combat too, which is why I enjoy Dragon Quest.
I'll tell you what.
It's just.
If you get your team with Tifa and Red, you are doing some serious fucking damage.
I actually don't like playing as Red. Having him on the team is fine, but I don't like actively playing as him because
his
whole deal is blocking and using the vengeance thing. And I don't like blocking.
I can't time it right.
and I'm not timing. He even comes with like a materia that helps his timing on blocks. And I just don't like that. I do like holding square though, and letting him do his like big twister attack.
Oh,
that's pretty
hell
fun.
Yeah!
But I've mostly been rocking Cloud, Tifa, and Aerith, and
that's my main crew. Right
mostly now. Using Tifa because Tifa is just all the combo stuff, and now there's so much more aerial combat you can do with her.
And charge just, like, using what's the move?
Unbridled
charge
strength.
Up. Yes, you could charge up. And it gives you those. Oh, she's so fun.
The one thing that I've been really enjoying, especially for some of the more field fights, I put Aerith out there and I have the auto cast. And it's for cure and prayer. And it's so fucking good. That's just basically kept me going in case something goes sideways. But I do think Tifa is a ton of fun to play with. I really enjoyed her in Remake also. Tifa's just a good character all around.
Yeah.
And Cloud's fun to play as too, which is good because he's always got to be in that party. And I enjoy throwing Cloud. What I end up doing which is a lot of what I did in the first game. But now I have more characters to switch out. It's just whenever I get a new weapon, it's like, I guess I'm using that character until I get the proficiency maxed out for that weapon. And then probably just switch back to Cloud or Tifa.
Two questions on that. What sword are you using? And secondly, in Junon, is that the name of the city I'm in right now? I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Did you all
under
the,
Junon is where
yes
in,
thank you why is the I've not bought anything from the weapons vendor, but all the new versions of the swords and shit were sold out when I got there.
I think you already have them.
Okay,
because all the weapon vendors are only selling the stuff that you've already
got it
potentially come across. But I think it's really just kind of like a catch-up mechanic. Like, did you not find it in this box, or did you not find it over here?
We'll
let you buy it now if you want.
Do you have a favorite weapon yet?
Not really. I mean, mostly it's just they haven't really given me all that different. I know each weapon has like its own extra attack that it gives you. But for the most part, it's, this one has more materia slots, so I guess it's just going in. This one has slightly better stats, so I guess I'm using this. I don't particularly like the look of any of the swords outside of the Buster Sword so far. So I've definitely had some times where it's like, man, I should switch back to the Buster Sword because...
It just looks so much better.
That's the good looking one. That's the classic one.
I don't remember the name of it, but there's like a secret weapon in the original game that I think it doubles the XP that materia gets.
Oh, wow.
But it has no joined slots. The trade-off there. Yeah.
Chase, can you tell me it's okay that I'm spending my golden plumes on armor for the chocobo?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You just, every area you go to, you have new armor that you can spend your plumes on. So, and you'll get plenty of plumes.
There's nothing else to worry about with those. That's fine.
How many more times can we say the word plume?
Yeah, I will say that is another thing that really annoys me, is that every time you go to a new open area, you have to find another chocobo to ride. And I get that. And I guess this is a slight spoiler for Johnny because he hasn't gotten there yet, but it doesn't really care. In the second big area,
he tells you this during the
tutorial, right. He does, but the second big area you go and you find a chocobo that can climb walls now, very specific walls, very specific, old school, boring, rigid. Yep. These are the walls that you can climb and no other walls. But that's what they do. But it forces you to play another shitty stealth mini game that feels like absolute shit.
They suck.
And the second one is so boring.
It's terrible.
It has a chance. If you don't do it right the first time, which I did not do, you have to wait an extremely long time for the opportunity to arise again to do the thing. That's been my most hated part, which is also a bummer because it's the only truly necessary side activity you have to do in any of these places is to find the new chocobo. So that part I have not loved, but once you get the chocobo, it's fine other than it controlling kind of like shit.
Johnny, I think you'll understand what I'm about to say, Chase, maybe by proxy, because I don't think you played it, but didn't you feel similarly about how Horizon Zero Dawn hit so hard and everything about Forbidden West outside of the story beat so far were better, there's more cool shit mechanically you can get into. Mm-hmm. I'm getting some similar vibes here on Horizon Zero Dawn being just this monolith of a game, and I'm really early in a 100-hour game, so I don't want to judge it too far down the line, but so far it has not came out of the gates nearly as quickly or strongly.
It's more of a gradual, very gradual from the sound of it, build. And I'm wondering if there has to be a point where you hit it and it just takes off, right?
Again, it's less that it's all gradual and it's more stop start. It's you get to a town and we're going to do a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then you get to another big open area.
I'm wondering,
hey, chill out for a long while, dude. Yeah. And then I'm wondering if it's always going to be
like that. Because I haven't read intentionally, I haven't looked at any of the reviews or anything like that. I've tried to go into this as uninfluenced as possible from outside sources. So I don't know if it's all going to be like that or usually, you hit a point the last third of this game, it's going to be just go, go, go. And
here's the thing. I make sense of what I'm doing right now because Dragon's Dogma is a couple weeks away.
Yeah.
And I
the game looks really
Overlord
good
is a few days away.
What is
that game also
looks Unicorn good. Overlord.
Yeah. And I know I talked about it a couple weeks ago. I'm loving Pacific Drive still, and I really want to see where that's going also. But I've kind of just knew I wanted to be around. I've done a good job avoiding spoilers for Final Fantasy VII, and I feel like I gotta be really quick with what I'm doing to kind of stay in that zeitgeist and avoid a lot.
I mean, you do and you don't. We ended up, we had to spoil you on one thing because it was getting ridiculous to not just tell you. So we had a podcast years ago where we told you what kind of one of the big things that happens in original Final Fantasy VII. Who knows if it happens this time? Still no idea. Maybe you find out at the end of this game. I don't know.
Yeah. Games like this, big JRPGs, you're, Yakuza's your
Persona 3 stuff. I was loving too this year.
I know for a fact I would be playing these games for months and months, and that's fine.
See this one I need to get finished this month, and I think I can. This game I did.
There's the 12 one thing chapters, I did check right?
is like 14 I think is what I saw.
Okay.
So 14 chapters and I'm in 6 right now. I feel pretty good about that. I think I can finish this game.
That's not bad.
This month. Yeah. Now, some of those chapters have been really quick. Some of those chapters have been much longer. So I don't know how that's going to shake out. But like chapter five is pretty quick. It's you're in a pretty isolated area. And once you're done with it, you're smack into chapter six, which is more open. So we'll see. But I think you could spend 100 hours in this game if you're insane.
You really need to. I've seen like I don't 60, think you'll have to. 80,
that's about what Remake was, right?
25 hours, I think, because they were just going through main stuff as quickly as they could.
I think if you just play this game, quote unquote, normally, which just means doing some side stuff, like even doing a lot of side stuff is fine. But if you're playing 100 hours of this game, it's going to be, oh, you played the beach mini game where you played the firing range thing, which I'll tell you, boys, is bad. That mini game sucks. That mini game sucks shit, and hurt my arm at the end of it. I was like, oh, I'm in so much pain. So if you want to play that and get the max amount of shit, maybe that'll take you 100 hours to do all that bullshit. But I think if you just play this game and take things as they come to you, and oh, maybe I'll go over there and do that combat thing, I don't think it's going to take nearly that.
Okay.
Time. Yeah.
So I think we're going to be talking about this game quite a bit. This is probably like the most focused conversation we're going to have until probably end of the year on it. We'll be giving some updates, I think, and maybe some other, you know, updates along the way, but.
Yeah, like my last, like the wrap up for me would be last week when I had just played the demo, I was a little bit down on it. And I think I'm back to more neutral now, where I think that game is pretty good. And I'm enjoying lots of parts of it. I'm not enjoying it nearly as much as I did the first game. And this is, I mean, hey, again, I'm relatively early in it too. So maybe this could change, but I don't think this one is going to be like the lock game of the year like the last one was. Although last one had to go up against Hades, so I don't know if that was a lock necessarily.
Yeah.
But
you know, Chase, I'm gonna quote the great Zap Brannigan right now and just say I hate these filthy neutrals.
Mm.
You know, with enemies, you know where they stand, but with neutrals, who knows?
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. I definitely have a little bit more criticism for it this time around than I did, I think, at this point in the first one, but they're not major criticisms. They're just like, hey, this is a little rough on the edge for me, because I felt like it was such a round corner when I played that last one. It was such a really cool moment, and
It could be that just like some of the shines off it now. We know what some of this stuff is.
Totally.
Some of these attacks are the same. Like Cloud still does Braver, which he better. Like that's Cloud's
that's
move.
The move.
If you're not going to put Braver on Cloud, what are you doing? But also, like I've used this sword before. I've done these kinds of things before. I've been talking to these characters for a long time. Why are we still kind of doing a lot of the same stuff?
I didn't mention to that earlier. I wish I would have. I really was hoping that they would have done a Mass Effect save where I would have had my like save imported where I had my materia. I had those weapons. It would have felt more cohesive.
It would have. The problem there is that you just break the game entirely. And the way Mass Effect handled it was like, oh, we blew up your ship, so you don't get any of that shit anymore. And you kind of have to start over. And they just kind of don't worry about it here. But it is kind of silly going like, didn't I have the rune blade in Rebirth? Maybe I'm wrong. Or
don't think
Rebirth,
about it too much.
It's not a big deal. It's fine. It's playing the video game. And I think the video game is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Johnny, any other thoughts from you?
No, I'm chomping at the bit to play more.
Right on. Well, let's get to the news so we can then go and do more of that. How about that?
Sounds good.
Before you get into the news, one, or this is like also a news story as well, but you mentioned Persona 3 earlier, and that's a piece of news that is not on our list.
Yeah,
I do want to mention.
What exactly? They're putting out DLC
for that? And they're putting in the stuff that everyone was like, why didn't you put that in the game when you were making the definitive version? Yeah. They're putting the answer. In as like a piece of DLC, which is, I believe, even I don't know. Is the answer what they added in Persona 3 Fests on the PS2? I this is now actually going to be the definitive version of Persona 3 once this DLC gets thrown in.
After yes, already buying
it. So should I hold off?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where the answer comes. I mean, it's at the end, so I think you're fine to continue playing it. I also don't know when these waves of DLC are coming out, because the answer part is the third and last piece of DLC, and the other ones feel it feels very much like the Zelda DLC of like, oh, here's a couple of DLCs that don't fucking matter, and then here's the one that you want to end on. Fire Emblem DLC also does a lot of this as well. Like, here's a bunch of bullshit costumes and shit, and now, oh, there's the story piece that you want.
Got it.
So I don't know.
Got it.
I have not started Persona 3 yet, but I plan to at some point, and knowing that
really cool.
It actually will have the answer in it is good. But right also, on. Why did you, Atlas, why did you let us all twiddle our thumbs and bitch at you for months when you could have just said, yeah, guys, we got it. Don't worry about it.
Because then people would have been mad that they're putting out as DLC, and it would have caused controversy, and probably maybe even brought review scores down if people had known, hey, this is going to be a whole separate thing that you have to pay for to get what we've already put out once before.
Maybe. I don't think people are particularly happy about it now.
Well, no.
Maybe not now either.
But the whole initial sweep of press coverage has already come and gone, right? Like, this was absolutely a strategic decision by them.
Maybe. Wait,
to announce this. Like, you don't, you know, stuff like this has been in development for a while. So it's not like they didn't know they were going to do it, right?
So, yeah, it could be. But again, you also had a media cycle where people were saying, though, this isn't actually the full game because they didn't include the parts that people cared about.
So
this, I feel like you are kind of screwed if you do, screwed if you don't.
So I just saw with Game Pass, the partner preview was today, I believe.
Okay.
Oh, so, yeah.
So they do have Persona 3 Reload Expansion Pass coming to Game Pass as part of that. Okay. So I thought I would be buying it. That's cool that they're going to include that.
No, you won't be buying it. I'll be buying it on the Switch, but you'll be fine.
Oh, that's because you're a sucker, Chase.
This is a known fact.
All right. Let's talk about... So that's, I don't think we're going to cover more of the partner preview in this tonight, but maybe we'll mention it later on.
Yeah.
Johnny, what do you got for us?
Oh, some just more good news from the games industry. Rooster Teeth, who I stopped engaging with after the first or second season of Red versus Blue, but they've been around for over 21 years, is shutting down. They were a WB property. They're in talks to sell shows like RWBY, Red vs. Blue. It's
Ruby, come on.
Ruby? I've never heard
it
of
sucks,
it.
It sucks, but it's pronounced Ruby.
Ginlock, and they will Ginlock. Shop the Roost podcast network, but...
it's a big deal. Yeah.
Like, they've been around for a long time. It is a big deal. It's, would you consider it legacy gaming media at this point? So kind of.
I mean, Red versus Blue was/is still like the longest running web video thing.
I didn't even know they were still making new Red versus Blue.
Yes, right. but they are. Yeah, I don't know. Red versus Blue was a huge deal for me. In middle school, high school, I bought the DVDs. I bought T-shirts with fucking dumbass phrases on them. It was a really big part. I remember watching, this was like when I had my iPod video, and I would be watching on that tiny iPod video screen on the bus ride to school. And it was like, I'm just watching Red versus Blue over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
This was the height of comedy. And then, yeah, absolutely. They transitioned to Halo 2 at some point, and then I can't remember if it was during Halo 2 or during Halo 3 where they're like, oh, we're going to start making it serious now. And I went, I don't care about this anymore. This is not what I'm looking for. And I kind of have never looked back outside of like when they've had controversies these last few years about harassment and racism and other shit that's going on there. That didn't sound great. And a lot of the original people who... some were good and some were bad and some were both. it really has just kind of felt like it's become a bit of a vestige, and now it's just shutting down, which know, they still did a lot of stuff. They had a like a whole event thing that was almost on par with PAX at one point.
It said they had almost 400 employees at one point.
Jesus.
They produced a ton of content. Like they did achievement, all the Achievement Hunter stuff was huge back in the day. Ruby was a big deal when that came out. I always thought it sucked shit, but
what is it?
That was amazing.
Is it more?
It's an anime. It's not a machinima. It's a 3D anime.
Maybe Chase and I do agree on some things.
Oh, finally.
But specifically, I'm gonna forget his name. He did a very popular and at the time cool animation back then. Marty O, I think that's his name.
McFly.
He made a video, a machinima kind of thing that was Master Chief and Samus fighting, and it was incredibly animated and was a huge viral hit in the day.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I remember that.
And so Rooster Teeth hired that guy, and he worked on some Red versus Blue stuff and made some of like their more intense animated scenes, stuff that you couldn't do in the video game that you had to actually go into 3D stuff to programs to do. And then they helped him make his own anime, which was still this kind of 3D motion stuff, which was Ruby. And it's red, white, blue, and yellow is the RWBY.
Oh, okay. Which, more colors.
Which goes to the different characters. I don't know. Ruby's weird. Ruby. I don't think Ruby's very good. But he was a big thing. And then the guy who was in charge of that died, I believe, from like a complication through surgery or something.
Woof.
I think I remember that.
And then Ruby took a turn because the vision guy wasn't there anymore. And anyway, Rooster Teeth, it's been in a weird spot for a while.
Since they've been running operating without turning a profit for the last decade. So
isn't that every company at this point?
That's true, but it's only
for the ones that are making huge profits and somehow still laying people off.
Mm-hmm.
Of the two.
You know, it's not like Uber where you can be the least profitable company in the world dumping money into you until eventually
profitable. Twitter's quick on their
tail. Trying.
Yeah. John, they had a ways to go because I think they burned like something like $33 billion and they made a profit of like $25 billion this year. Well, anyway,
you can't gamble with that or with the Switch.
Shit.
Balatro.
Is that what we call it?
That's how it's pronounced. That is, I had the chance to interview Local Funk, the developer of Balatro, and that is how he pronounced it. So that is how this is a GIF situation that we find ourselves in.
Oh no, do I have to start calling it that?
You call it whatever you want. So it got delisted in some countries in Germany and the UK, but that has not stopped it from selling 500,000 copies in the 10 days since its release. And it just, it's incredible. This game is amazing.
Yeah.
How many hours do I have in it? 28.7 hours. But I did have it open most of one day, so it was probably only like 20 hours.
Johnny just doesn't play his video games. He just opens them.
That's true. Yes. I haven't had a successful run yet. I keep getting to the final round.
At least when I don't play video games, I leave them not open.
Am I the only one that has unlocked like a run yet?
I think you're the only one who's beaten it. Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. I keep getting close, and I get fucked on the final boss.
I can go back to our seed and beat it anytime I want. I just know I can do that if I choose to.
There you go.
You know, it's a fantastic game. I think it sucks that it's getting delisted from some places, specifically because
it's not gambling.
Not gambling. There's no way to gamble in the game. There's no way to put real money into it. The only gambling thing is the aesthetics of poker, and it's not even really like poker.
It's not even poker. It's not even he didn't even know the rules of poker when he made it.
And the developer has talked about how he's anti-gambling and how he's talked to talk to the ratings boards about this, and even like before the ratings happened, had discussions with them, showed them, talked them through some stuff, and was given assurances of, oh yeah, this game's totally fine. There's not going to be an issue. It's going to be 3+ and that'll be fine. And now it's just kind of this overnight decision of, actually, we'll call it 18+ now, because it depicts gambling. And that's where it's come off some of these storefronts. It's still available like on the Switch eShop here in the States. I'm sure it's available on Steam here in the States. But it is a bummer that this game is running so hot right now and everybody loves it, and it has this speed bump to deal with, where some people just can't
access. This is clearly not really slowing its momentum.
No.
and it's going to get fixed is what we keep being told.
I think they said by March 9th, they expect it to be back on the shops that it was removed from.
Yeah, there have been appeals. They're going through the process. This is probably not a permanent thing for people in Germany and the UK and other European countries. So if you're really excited and have not played Balatro, I would say don't worry. I think you're gonna be okay.
That I have ruined Chase's brain with this.
I don't like it.
Johnny, tell me about Warner Brothers Gas.
Warner Brothers
really, really killing it.
David Zaslav, however you say
Balatro,
that piece of shit. his company continues.
Balatro. So I knew we needed a title, and now we got one.
They had the best selling game last year, in Hogwarts Legacy. It beat games like Call of Duty and things that usually take the spot. But they have said they want to get away from the quote unquote volatile AAA console games, which, hey, that's absolutely true. It is volatile.
To be fair, yeah, I would say Harry Potter also a little volatile.
Yeah.
They're going to lean into and games as a service, or GaaS, as Bobby helpfully said. So, but they also just put out Suicide Squad, which was a catastrophic failure and was in development.
There's 400 people who really like it. Let them be.
They're already going to be playing.
Let them stay.
Servers.
Fuck it.
So I don't understand Warner Brothers as a company. Interested in doing is finding ways to ruin art and get tax breaks. And
I mean, it's very simple what they're doing. It's just trying to find as much money as they can in the shortest amount of time as they can, with no regard to
the future
or to anybody's actual livelihood.
But you know what? They managed to create a lot of value for their shareholders.
That's fantastic. I'm so proud of them.
Aren't you happy for them?
Almost as happy as your son is.
Bobby, you want to talk about this next one?
You're
the one that was the most passionate Tim trainer among us.
Tim's development team threw out a letter to the community today after some very strong opinions came out when they announced their Vampire Survivor like with Tim characters. Tim hit 1.0, and that was after a fever dream of an early access period for them back in 2020, where you could not go anywhere and not hear about this game. They promised some stuff for the game content wise. There's even backing on Kickstarter for certain things, and the development team has come out to say that they are going to be ending development on Tim. And they go on as far as to say that, like, hey, this was never supposed to be an MMO, which I call bullshit. But they do claim that they have they've shown off the Vampire Survivor like and announced that one. But they say there's another game set in the Tim universe that is still something they're going to ship out. So it's interesting that they're still making video games. They're just stopping.
They're also starring in the TCU, the Tim Cinematic Universe.
Yep. So they've got they are immediately stopping. Well, not immediately, but they will be in an update stopping their microtransactions, and they will allow anybody to go backwards and play their prior battle pass for these games. So they still feel like there's a very strong and competent single player narrative that you can go through.
I gotta go tuck a child in. I'll be right back.
Okay, I'll take the news over. So they just won't have anything outside of that moving forward, which is a bummer, but these games are very finicky.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It does seem a little odd timing wise,
yep.
Especially this close to something like a PAL World release.
I have to feel like that had some influence here.
Almost assuredly, like the big new Pokemon hotness. I mean, you even had the Pokemon. I don't think the Pokemon Direct or Pokemon Presents. The last one was all that impactful, but PAL World especially has been so has changed the game in a way when it comes to these kinds of monster collecting video games that. Yeah, it makes sense that they would go like, maybe we can't really compete with them on that. Let's try to make a different kind of thing. I don't know.
I mean, look, I haven't been actively playing Temtem for that very reason. Like, I beat the game. I love the game. I was waiting for more in content on it. And honestly, like, I just don't really have a reason to go back to it. I enjoyed my time with it immensely. You all know that. I loved it, but knowing that it is quote unquote a dead game, literally, like end of life. I don't think I need to go back. I might, fire it up sometime, just shits and giggles, but
I mean, back up one story here. Like, not every game has to be a game as a service.
Totally.
I think it's totally fine if you built a Temtem to be like, we're going to build a beginning, middle, end video game. Now, if you don't market it that way and you don't tell people on Kickstarter that that's what you're planning on doing and you're making people think like it's going to have a longer lifespan than it really does, that's kind of shitty. But I totally encourage developers to make video games that end.
Yeah,
I would prefer that out of my video games.
Yeah. Like, these are, they did, I should also say that they said that they can keep the servers on for a very long time. They're not going to be turning those off. Like, you will be able to see people playing this game. If there's still people up there playing Anthem, people will still be playing Temtem. So, Johnny, I will hand it back off to you.
It's a high bar.
I'm just saying.
The Nintendo Switch emulator, Yuzu.
People can't keep gambling on the Switch, man. Nintendo will get you.
That's what I'm saying. Well, so this was, a lawsuit was just recently announced, and then they almost immediately settled. For $2.4 million and shutting down all of their shit. And I've seen, there was another article I saw today, but basically they had evidence that the people who made Yuzu were contributing to making pirated copies of games, specifically Tears of the Kingdom.
Kinda,
And they also, I believe, didn't they have a Patreon?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Yuzu
I don't think a Patreon is the problem exactly, because if that's the problem, oh boy, there's a lot of emulators on Patreon.
Yeah.
But specifically, I think it was that Yuzu had, or the people behind Yuzu had gotten a little bit shady into, hey, we've built specific software to make games like Tears of the Kingdom run in a pre-release period where they could have only been doing it with pirated copies. And that is kind of that Icarus moment of, oh, maybe you flew a little close to the sun on that one. So I don't think it's as cut and dried as Nintendo had no case and just used their lawyers to bully somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but this is still very much a case of bullying.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, this is different than, I make a Game Boy Advance emulator. And, you are making a product that is meant to emulate software that is actively being sold and potentially taking money out of Nintendo's pocket.
That is still what emulators are meant for, is that you have an emulator that is able to make backups. Like, if you want to do this thing completely, well, again, not completely above board, but like,
sure, yeah,
legally, the idea is that you can make
the ISO or the ROM or whatever it is,
right? Consumer rights, you're allowed to make personal backups of your own stuff or whatever.
Come on, Chase.
No, absolutely. I know what people are using it for, absolutely, but But like, Nintendo should not legally be able to go after somebody for just making an emulator. It is when you go that step further of,
and
hey, enabling, now you're facilitating piracy. Some of these things that do lead to, or that are making piracy, that are piracy themselves. That's where it gets a lot stickier. I think the real bummer for me is that Yuzu also made the Citra emulator, which is the 3DS emulator. And that is a weirder case because they're shutting down the 3DS store like next month. So it's not like Nintendo's getting extra value out of that. And really, Citra is more like, because all of Yuzu is shutting down, Citra has to shut down, even though that was technically above board from what's going on. So that is a bummer. On the other hand, there's a billion emulators out there and people are making more every day and making stuff open source.
There's dozens of us. Dozens.
You will probably be just fine. And I think the other important thing is that because this didn't actually go to trial and was settled out of court, is that there is still no precedent on the books.
Honestly, so, Michael, it's just an emulator. How much could it cost?
$0.4 million One of the two. It's either $0 or $2.4 million. Apparently,
yeah. That's the going rate.
So it's
Johnny.
It's still weird. Emulation is still weird in a court in a legality sense. Copyright is weird in a legality sense, especially when you mix it with the internet.
Dude, copyright law. It is a bummer just that some of these fucking nightmare.
It's a bummer that some of these tools are gone because people were doing some really interesting things with them.
Yeah. And even outside effects of preservation down the road, like this isn't a good thing.
And if this emboldens Nintendo to go after other,
I mean, they shut down, they've that one guy in wage Mr. slavery, Bowser. Basically. Yeah. Mr. Bowser, like they've ruined that man's life. And it's just, it's something to see these gigantic monolithic corporations going after individuals or, you know.
Yeah. The worst thing is that it could lead to that chilling effect of leading to other emulator developers saying, oh, I don't want to even have the chance risk is too for high. Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Right. Even if what I'm doing is technically legal, you can't fight that court battle. You can't afford the lawyers that it would cost to fight Nintendo on some of these things. So, maybe just shut it down instead and cease and desist before it even gets that bad.
Yeah.
And that's the real problem, because you have people doing legitimately cool and interesting and above board things and feeling like they can't.
Yeah. Bobby, you want to take us home?
Yes. We've had an interesting week. We tried to stream on Monday, had technical issues, but we have resolved those because you can hear us now. So we'll get back to Dice Folk. We will have two quick looks going up tomorrow. Balatro, as Johnny says, and then Deep Rock Galactic Survivor will be going up on Thursday this week. You get twice as nice. And then Friday night, we're going to go back to Helldivers and check out some of those and tell Joel he's an asshole. That's what you can find out with us here. There are links in our link tree right here on Twitch that you can find out and in our show notes. Chase, what do you got going on?
Couple things. I finished Pokemon Stadium. Stadium Brats is now wrapped up. You can watch the last episode as of today. It's out there on Chase K Plays on my YouTube channel. A lot of fun. Had a great time. Thank you both for coming on various episodes as it came on.
I'm sorry we had technical difficulties whenever we tried to record.
All good. It ended up being just fine. Now that that's over, I got to find a new game to play. So I think I've landed on, at least for a little while,
Mighty Number 9.
Balatro? Fuck, goddammit. I'm always going to call it Balatro. I don't care anymore. I think I will be playing more Balatro on Chase K Plays. Maybe I'll get my first win. But look for some of that next week. But for this week, you can watch the last episode of Stadium Brats. And then also Pierce Corshane, good friend of our show, and I recorded our new episode of Pilot Program, where we watch the first episode of every television show ever made. This next episode is on the A-Team, and it comes out this Friday. So be excited for that. And we've announced what our next episode is going to be. It's going to be on the new FX show, Shogun. which I'm pretty excited about. That's been getting
some
pretty good reviews, and I've been very excited to watch it. So
hell yeah,
we'll be recording that one soon, and that'll go up as well. So lots of fun, exciting stuff happening.
Definitely. We'll be back Friday with Helldivers. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and thank you two for being here. Talk to y'all.